All right, dear listeners. So the first story I want to talk about is called Crime Versus Punishment. This was an interesting tale for me. I had no idea where it was coming from or no idea where it was going. All I wrote was, I have been in this place for more days than I can remember. Placed in this cell for a crime that I dare not remember, for it was so terrible that I think of it would surely make me go mad. I was like, interesting. So my brain went, where do I go from here? What is this story about? I don't know. So I continued on with it. And it's about this guy who's in a cell. Who's been put here by I don't know who. And so as I thought about it, as I finished it, I realized it's not just a man placed in a cell. It's a man who placed himself in the cell. So let's get into it. Let's go back. So I have been married. I've been with somebody for 20 years. I've been with somebody with another woman for 5 years. So I understand the whole relationship thing. And you ladies and you gentlemen, sometimes you get mad at us and you put us in these cells. And that's where it came from. That was the thinking behind it. That's where, I mean, obviously, consciously, I didn't realize that until I finished the story, but that's where it came from. From all those times when your spouse or your significant other is mad at you and you don't know what to do. You know you did something wrong, something terrible to them. You may know what it is, you may not know what it is, but they throw their walls up, they throw up their defenses. And so that's where this story came from. It's about, you know, them throwing up the defenses and you don't know what to do. So you feel like you're trapped. You're lost. You're trapped in a cell. And you feel like you're being punished. You are being punished, obviously. So that's where that story came from. Like I said, it was an interesting story to write. It was a fun story to write, too. I mean, all my stories are fun to write. That's why I write. So all you would-be writers out there, if you got an idea, just go with it, man. Just let it go. Do it. See where it takes you. Like I said before, as Stephen King says, follow the characters. Characters will take you where they want to go. They really will. A story may start out, you may think it starts this way, but it ends up another way. So this is Crime Versus Punishment. Enjoy. Take heed. Have fun. My next tale is called Crime Versus Punishment. I have been in this place for more days than I can remember. Placed in this cell for a crime that I dare not remember. For it was so terrible that to think of it would surely make me go mad. I tell time by the guards that walk in front of my cell door on a revolving basis and by the meals they toss at me through the bars. It was at one of my meal times I heard the guards talk of me and what I had done. It was too much for me to bear. I covered my ears with rocks that littered my cell. Small rocks, big rocks, rocks of every size that were tossed in here with me and at me. I was a model prisoner, never speaking, staring or interacting with the guards that came by. It was the same with the others that came by. I never interacted with anyone or anything. I was a speck on my society. I was a bad man for what I did. No, must not think about it. More time went by and more came to watch me, to see the man who would do such a thing, who would have the courage to do the unspeakable. They watched and murmured amongst themselves. Sometimes I heard them and other times I had put the rocks on my ears. I have no idea how long I have been here, but I know my beard grows longer each day, as does the rest of my hair. They gave me no mirrors, no soft objects, nothing I can use to hurt myself. No, that would be the easy way out. I must sit in my cell, endure the pain, the stares, the murmurs. One day she came, the one who I committed the crime, of which I cannot think. I spied a glance at her from the corner of my eye, never looking straight at her. She watched me for a long while. In fact, she pulled up a chair outside my cell. She sat watching me. This is my new punishment. I have earned it. I deserve it. I am a monster. Come and see the monster. She get up and leaves, leaving her monster asleep with his rocks. Next morning, she returns back to see the monster in his cell, back to torture me, to watch me suffer, to help me suffer. I earned it, and I took it. I am the monster that she sees. Society believes me to be a monster, and here she sits watching me, watching my pain and inflicting more by having me watch her, watch me as I sit in my cell. So it went on for days, months, years. I do not know for how long it was, for as I said, I had no idea what time it was or what day it was. Time was my enemy as much as I am to myself. I so wanted to ask her, why are you here? Why don't you let me end it? End my punishment. Just leave me alone and let me rot in my cell. Let me face my punishment. I earned it. I deserve it. End it, please. I tire of this cell. I tire of this life. Please. Then I see her do something I never thought she would do. She walked over to the cell, pulls out the key, opens the door. I cower in the corner. She comes inside my cell and walks straight up to me. She pulls my head up, so she's staring into my eyes, and I into hers. They are so beautiful as I remember. My heart starts to melt as she smiles at me. Why is she doing this? Does she not remember what I did? The pain I caused her. The pain I caused us. She continues to stare into my eyes. She reached out, touching my face, and I tried to turn away, but she won't let me. I forgive you, my love. She tells me, and she kisses me with the passion that I remember. The cell fades away, and once again I am free. I love you so much. I love you too. Now show me how much. She leans back in the bed. Anything you want, my love. So my next story is called Thanks for Checking. This story, for me, was interesting to write because I wrote this in college. When I was in creative writing class, sorry. Anyway, so, you know, I went to college. I have an English degree, a half a master's degree, but, you know, that's another story altogether. But anyway, so this particular story, she told us to write a story and try to, it was back when she was like, they were telling me to, you know, write like other people to, you know, to learn how to write. Which I don't recommend that. That's not a good idea. Write your way. Don't write the way everybody else writes. Because that's the only way to find your own voice. Anyway, so this story is about a father who, you know, you hear them strange noises in the middle of the night. Well, he says, go check it out, you know. Man, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about. So you get up, you go check it out. You find out what's going on. And maybe you find something, maybe you don't. This particular story was about he goes downstairs to check, and he has a heart attack. You see, so how would that look from his perspective? And that's where I got the idea. That's where it came from. So how does he see it? You know, because they say, you know, you lose when you have a heart attack, you lose the left side of your face starts to turn numb. You know, your left arm might go limp and that kind of thing. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know for sure. But that's just that's what they tell us. That's what they say. You know, you clench your chest, you know, starts to palpitate and all that stuff. But this particular story was that's where it came from. So and I got A on it, by the way. And she really liked the paper, so that was great, too. Anyway, so I included in my tale, in one of my books, Alone in the Dark. If you wish to check the rest of the books out, you know, that's great, too. But, so anyway, so here's the story. It's called Thanks for Checking. I hope you like it. I hope you enjoy it. And here we go. So my final story of these episodes is called Thanks for Checking. What the hell was that? What the hell was what? Have you been drinking? Ed ignored Martha, shaking his head. He slid out of abed pulling on his box, on his boots. Where are you going? I thought we were going to have mad hot sex. She threw the covers, exposing herself. Don't you want some of this? Will you be quiet, woman? I heard something out there. And Stop turned his head towards her. And for God's sakes, cover yourself before the boys see you. I don't want to scare them. Martha rolled over, punching his pillow as Ed picked up his shotgun and headed through the doorway. He walked downstairs to the front door. The moonlight was dripping like an open vein covering his farm with little dots of color like a painter's canvas. Ed opened the door, slowly holding the barrel out in front of him. He glared left and then right, scanning every part of the farm he could see from his front door. Nothing. Must have been the wind. Ed turned his back on the night as he started to go back inside. Suddenly something hit him hard and fast. The flesh of his left arm felt like it was being peeled off like a banana. His heart felt like it wanted to explode. The pain overwhelmed him as he tried to cry out, but his tongue was numb and he could not speak. Then his world went from color to blood red as his eyes felt like they were ripped from their sockets and his head was being squeezed like a fresh lemon. Ed's mind raced as if someone turned on a projector, his wife Martha dancing out of his memory into his mind's eye. She wore a pretty red dress with yellow daisies on it in front. Hey, handsome, you want to dance? You're playing our song. Ed took her hand and they went into the barn, which was packed with people. They shouted and called out to them. Hey, Eddie, you better take care of that pretty lady. After all, I saw her first. You're just lucky I let you have her. Ed glanced towards the voice. Tom? Tom winked at him as Martha pulled him to the middle of the dance floor. Ed spun Martha. He could feel the joy emanate from her like a fan emanates cold air. A smile crossed her face as her love embraced him. Two little boys pulled out at his sleeve. Dad, can we get some cotton candy, please, Dad? Ed glanced lovingly down at his boys. Sure, but remember, don't eat too much if you want to go on the double Ferris wheel. He hands them a $10 bill. The boys ran ahead excited. You gonna spoil those boys? Yeah, but it's the county fair. Let them be spoiled. Martha laughed as they strolled down the midway hand in hand. They watched the boys scamper up to the cotton candy booth. Ed reached over and kissed her gently on the lips. I love you. Ed heard a sound in his head like the clicking of a projector that ran out of film but was left on. Ed waited for the sound to stop, but it never did. Martha woke up to the sound of screaming, Ed, wake up! There's something wrong with Billy! She reached for him. Ed? Ed, where are you? Another scream broke through the air. Martha leapt out of bed, pulling on her robe. She raced down the stairs, screeching to a halt and falling to her knees. Oh my God. Billy and Johnny hovered over their father's body in shock. Martha felt her husband's face. He was cold and stiff as a board. She laid her head on top of him and wept. He's cold, Mama. Should we get him a blanket? Martha took her sons into her arms, held on tight, never wanting to let them go. All right. The Devil Inside. Oh, yes. Devil Inside. Devil Inside. Every single one of us. The Devil Inside. Yeah. Sorry. 80s flashback. Anyway. So, The Devil Inside. How did this story come about? Let me see. Well, you know, that little voice in your head that most people don't listen to? That's where it came from. Okay. So, The Devil Inside started as just a little story that I started working on. It started out with, a crazy guy, saying, I am the hand of God, and God is through me, but in reality, it's not God, it's the voice in his head. So, we all have that voice in our head that tells us to do things, and sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. And they say about, you know, crazy people hearing voices and all this kind of nonsense. or possibly not nonsense. I can't say it like that because I have voices inside my head too. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a writer. Anyway, so the devil inside came about because of that little voice in my head. I started to think about that little voice, and I was like, well, how can I incorporate this into a story? And it started out with, you know, I am the hand of God. And I like to add a little sprinkle of humor into my stuff whenever possible. And that's how I got the story where I am. That's how it turned out as good as it did. I like it. I think it's a great story. Anyway, like I said, you know, it's basically what would you happen if you actually listened to that voice inside your head, or you couldn't help but listen to that voice inside your head. He started to take over your body, started to take over your mindset, you know? So that's where that story came from, and that's how it happened to be the way it is. So anyway, no further ado, here it is, The Devil Inside. Hope you enjoy it, and just be careful what those voices inside your head tell you to do. Okay, so here we go. The Devil Inside. All right, my friends. This next one is called The Devil Inside. Hello, darkest, my old friend. The gun smoked as the sound vibrated through the dark and empty street. The end of everything came from one shot. One lousy fucking shot. Coming from the hand of a loser, the gun dropped from Frank's hand as his body hit the floor. 5 hours ago. I am the hand of God. Are you now? Detective Frank Weller kept his gun trained on the man dressed like the devil. So you want to drop the peace, or are you planning to go out in a blaze of glory? The man licked his lips and surveyed the many cops that surrounded him. He started to laugh out loud, as if it was the funniest thing he had ever heard. Glad you find that amusing. Tell you what, drop the gun, and we can all walk out of here. What do you say? I am the hand of God! The man waved the gun around the room, from one cop to the other. Okay, you're the hand of God. Frank held his hands in front of him. So what is it you want? I am the hand of God! All right, let's stay calm. What does the hand of God want? Vengeance upon the world! I see. And is there anything else the hand of God wants? Vengeance on the world. Yeah, we got that. So how are you going to do that? By destroying all of you! The hand of God opened fire on the police. Die! The police returned fire and the hand of God went down a hail of bullets. Frank walked over to what was left of the man, shaking his head in disgust. What a waste. Why do people do this? Can someone tell me that? Well, Frank, it's an imbalance of the mind. Yeah, doc. Spare me your medical jargon. You asked. Dr. Susan Knight stood over the body, examining it with her eyes first, as she pulled out a pair of rubber gloves from her bag. The man's face was gone, and his chest was like Swiss cheese. I think you cured him the hard way. I suppose we did. All right, boys, show the rest of the house, but be careful. Who knows what else the devil has in store for us? Frank took the lead, going from room to room. The house was empty of everything. No furniture, lamps, tables, not even a mattress on the floor. This is damn odd. Frank reached for the doorknob to the last room. He turned it slowly in case there was a wire or some other booby trap. Nothing. He opened the door, and that's when his whole life changed forever. 4 hours, 45 minutes ago. Frank finished searching the room. Unlike the rest of the house, this room was loaded with objects. Objects such as Frank had never seen before. What is this place? It is the place in between. Frank looked around, but there was no one in the room with him. In fact, he was completely alone. When he walked through the door, it was like walking into another place in time. He could not explain it, just a feeling. Who said that? He asked a question and answered it. Okay, well, answer the second question. I said it. Frank scowled. And you are? Let's see, I am the one who answered the first and second questions. Frank looked around the room. searching for the voice and found nothing. I must be losing my mind. Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. Frank shook his head. Get a hold of yourself, Frank. There's nothing here. Quite right, there's nothing there. But there is something here. Frank felt a tap on his shoulder. He turned quickly, swinging his fist. Whoa, Frank, take it easy. Susan ducked just in time. Sorry, Doc, I guess I'm a little jumpy. Nothing in here either. What? Frank scanned the room again. This time it was empty, as the rest of the house. But what, Frank? Frank searched his mind for what was in the room, but he found nothing. It was really empty the whole time, and what about the voice? Frank shook his head, letting out a sigh. I'm losing it. Frank pulled out his mic. All right, boys, let's wrap it up. 4 hours ago, Frank walked out of the house, feeling dread washing over him like a wet rag. The voice had stopped, but he couldn't shake the feeling. Frank. Yeah, Doc. Susan caught up to him. Listen, Frank, we all knew this was a clean shoot. A mess one, but clean. Why don't you go home and get some sleep? My team can take it from here. Thanks, Doc. Anytime, Frank. Seriously, go home. You look like shit. 3 hours and 40 minutes ago, Frank pulled into his driveway and turned off the motor. He sat in the car staring at his house. He could see his son John playing his Xbox through the window. Don't he ever go outside? Not really, Frank. Great, this again. What are you, my subconscious? Not exactly. Of course not. Well, as my dad would say, go fuck yourself. Frank opened the door to the car. Now, Frank, is there any way to talk to an old friend? Old friend? How can we be old friends? I don't even know who or what you are. I am you. You are me. Yeah, right. Gotta go now. Frank gets out of the car and closes the door. Fucking talking to myself. No, Frank, you're talking to me. Frank hurried toward the house. 3 hours, 30 minutes ago. Dad's home, big voice came from the boy playing the Xbox. Nice to see you too. Frank rubs him on the head. Now turn that off and go do your homework. But Dad, no buts. Go now. Johnny turned out of the game, got up off the couch, and left the room. Nice kid you got there, Frank. Frank ignored the voice and walked into the kitchen, where Nancy was making dinner. Hello, love. Oh, Frank, you're home early. She kisses him. My Frank, your wife is hot. You had a hard day, so you don't want to talk about it. Exactly. Frank glanced at the pan. Smells good. Yeah. She looks good too, Frank. Grab her ass or do you want me to do it? Frank stepped back from her and smacked himself in the head. Stop it! Stop what, Frank? Frank glanced over at Nancy. Nothing, dear, just a slight headache. Nancy put her arms around him. Oh, baby, do you need an aspirin or something? He returns her hold. No, I'm all right. It's just stress. She gives him a kiss and he kisses her back. Hard. That's it, Frank. Use your tongue. Now grab her ass. Nancy started to moan a little. Frank's hand wandered down her back to her ass, squeezed roughly. Oh, Frank. His other hand reached up and rips her shirt off, exposing her nipples. Frank, stop. Johnny's in the other room. She tries to push him away, but he is too strong. That's it, Frank. Give her what she's craving. Please, Frank. You're hurting me. She struggles to free herself, but he just pulls her closer as he fondles and bites her nipple. Nancy screams as her ears in his ear as he yanks down her pants. Suddenly, Frank jumps back as if coming out of a trance, releasing his frightened wife. My God, Frank, what the hell's wrong with you? She pulls her pants and grabs what is left of her shirt off the floor. Are you out of your mind? You have never done anything like that before. What if Johnny came in and saw you doing that? Fuck that bitch, Frank. She was loving it. Just shut up. Really, Frank? Maybe you should just get the hell out of here. My mother always said you were nothing but trouble. Please, Nancy, I wasn't talking to you. What? Just get out, Frank. She turns back to her cooking. But Nancy, I'm sorry. I didn't save it, Frank. Get out of here. 2 hours and 20 minutes ago. One more, Jim. Don't you think you had enough, Frank? Frank glazed up at the bartender from the bottom of his beard. No. Okay, Frank, one more, then you need to go. Don't take that shit from him, Frank. You're a cop. Yeah, I am a cop. I shall drink as much as I want. Now, give me a shot. Frank slams his hand on the bar. Now. Jim shrugs his shoulders. Now he reaches up, grabs a bottle, and pours a shot. Puts it towards Frank. Fine. Attaboy, Frank. Yeah, Frank drains the shot in one gulp. Another. Jim pours again. Again, Frank. Downs it in one shot, slamming the glass on the bar. The other people in the bar start to give him dirty looks. Come on, Frank. You're getting rather loud. So what if you are getting loud? Shut him up, Frank. Another. Frank slams the glass harder, and it shatters on the bar. Damn it, Frank. That's it. You're cut off. Jim picks up the pieces of glass. Take him, Frank. Frank grabs Jim's hand and pulls him towards him. I said I want another. Jim pushes him back. No, you're cut off. Go on, Frank. Shoot him, Frank. Frank shook his head violently back and forth. Frank, calm down. Jim put his hand on his shoulder. Frank grabbed his wrist, bends it back, twists. Jim screams in pain as Frank lets go. Jesus, Frank, get the hell out of here. Before I call the cops, Frank stands up, pulling out his gun. I am the cops. He aims at Jim and pulls the trigger. An hour ago. Frank wanders the street carrying the rum, bottle in one bloody hand and his gun in the other. Good job, Frank. You showed him who was in charge. Frank took another swig in the bottle. Why are you in my head? Oh, Frankie, I told you, I am you, the real you. The one you have been hiding all these years. Now let's go have some fun. 30 minutes ago. Please stop, mister. We don't want any trouble. Most people in the store ran as soon as Frank fired the first shot. The few that were left were on the floor behind the counter. Frank has his gun level at the clerk's chest as she begged for mercy. Kill her, Frank! Kill them all! Clerk was crying now. I am the... Frank fired. 5 minutes ago. Hold right there, Frank! Frank turned toward the voice. It was the voice of someone he knew. Someone he held most dear. His vision was blurred from the blood on his face dripped into his eyes. So he could not see their face. Kill him, Frank! The voice in his head had taken over. He raised his gun, pointing it toward the voice. Don't do this, Frank. You're surrounded. I am the hand of God! Frank squeezed the trigger. Now, Satan stood over Frank's body. Damn it, Frank, why? Because he was not strong enough. Are you? What'd you say, Sergeant? I didn't say anything, Doc. Must have been the wind.
All right. This last story I want to talk about is something that I did just on a whim. It's called The Plan. It's not so much a story as it is a conversation between two guys. And basically it started out with, I've always been a big fan of like old school comedies, like, you know, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, Three Stooges, so on and so forth. So I always thought, you know, I like comedy. Well, let me try my hand at comedy. Because Twisted Order I can do, you know. But let me try comedy for a bit. So I came up with this story. It's called The Plan. And like I said, I hope you enjoy it. Here it is, The Plan. So what's the plan then? Plan? You know, the plan. Did we have a plan? Oh, my Lord. What? You mean there is no plan? Sure, there's a plan. Well, what's the plan? Wait, it's coming to me. So what is it? What's what? The plan. We had a plan. Stop it. You always do this to me. Do what? That. Now tell me, what are we going to do? Oh, why don't you say that? So? So what? So what's the plan? What plan? I'm going to knock you out. Mama said knock you out. Quit it. Tell me your plan. My plan? Yes. Your plan. I don't have a plan. Yes, you do. I do? Yes, you told me you had a plan. I did? Yes, you did. Oh, yeah, right. So tell me. Tell you what? The plan. What plan? Oh, for God's sakes. Let's go over there and Let's just go over there and talk to them. Maybe ask them if they want to grab dinner or something. Great plan. I was thinking maybe flash them some cash, see if they would follow me home, but your plan's much better. Good Lord. Let's just go with my plan. Fine. What's your plan? That's it. I'm not talking to you anymore. Wait. Is that the plan? All right, fellow listeners and readers. So that's it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had fun. Like I said, comedy is not necessarily my forte. I do like to put jokes in my books and stuff. Some are, you can't see, some you can. Anyway, that's it for now. I got to get back to my work, get back to my writing, so I can write you some more twisted American fairy tales and books of the like. But if you do like my books and you want to know more, you can always go back to lulu.com/spotlight/Southwell. That's where you'll find some of my books. Or I also have a new account on Amazon. I just put a new book out a couple weeks ago. It's entitled Darkness Rising, More Twisted American Fairy Tales. Feel free to check it out. It's on Kindle Unlimited. So if you have Kindle Unlimited, it won't cost you anything to check it out. So by all means, check it out. Have fun, and I'll see you on the next one. Take care now, and be careful out there.